Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Hey, it is so good to be with you guys this morning with my family here at church. I'm really glad that you're here this morning. Hey, we're going to jump right into teaching this morning. So as we're getting ready, if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. I am so glad that you guys are here this morning. My name is Matt Smith. I'm one of the pastors here. If we haven't met, I genuinely hope we get the chance to. And if you've been with us over the past 5 weeks, we've been journeying through Scripture. We've been talking in really practical ways about who the Holy Spirit is, his role in the gospel, and his work in the life of believers in Jesus. We've been traveling through Scripture from creation, through the Old Testament, the prophets, the life and the ministry of Jesus. And last week we studied how the Holy Spirit was poured out and took up residence in the life of every believer at Pentecost. We've been looking at the things the Holy Spirit has done and what we can expect him to do today. So our hope is that as we meditate on who the Holy Spirit is, that it would create in us a desire to know him and depend on him in everything. So that rather than ignoring him, we might invite him to actually radically transform our lives for the gospel. So today, we are talking about how the Holy Spirit enables believers to do God's work, specifically by giving spiritual gifts to every believer and empowering us to use them. Maybe this idea of spiritual gifts is something familiar to you. Maybe this is something new and you've never heard about this, or maybe this topic brings up some strongly held beliefs, maybe some assumptions, or even anxiety. No matter where your set point is on this, the Holy Spirit wants us to know him and depend on him, and he invites, leads, and empowers us to use the gifts that he gives us. So before we dive into teaching, I want to take a second and pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have made yourself known to us through Scripture. I thank you that you live inside every believer. And I just pray that you would help us this morning to know you, to understand your mission, and to depend on you more. Father, I thank you for your word and the way that you've blessed us with that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so starting with Scripture is probably a good place to start when we talk about this. So if you've got your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 4, this is what it says in verses 10 and 11. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, another place that this becomes really clear in Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So this says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And the third place that this is really clear is Romans 12, and this is verses 6 through 8. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So the main truth here is that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to every believer to accomplish God's mission. So you can't really understand these gifts. You can't understand what they are until you understand what they're for. So Scripture is really clear that these gifts are to help and empower God's people for God's mission. So let's start right there. The only way to know the heart and the mission of God is through Scripture. You know, all of the Bible is about one central thing. It's about the gospel. It's about God's plan and mission to save everyone from sin and death that separates us from Him. So in short, you are God's mission. I am God's mission. His love for you was so great that while you were still opposed to Him, He died for you. You know, Romans 5:6 says it like this, that when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. God's mission has always been the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Like we've been studying over the past 5 weeks, all three persons of God are God, and their mission is the same. His mission is this, to rescue people from sin and death so we can have a relationship with Him and we can depend on Him in everything. So God's own words throughout Scripture would read like this, that I would be their God and they would be my people. That's God's heart. So when we put our faith in Jesus, at that moment, the Holy Spirit took up residence in us. You know, He began transforming us, changing our lives and changing the way that we think. And not only that, we became part of God's plan to bring the good news of the gospel to the world. You see, God's mission, His plan was that everyone would know Him and depend on Him. When we said yes to Jesus' leadership in our lives, He made us part of that plan. His mission became our mission. And through the Holy Spirit, His love for the world became our love for the world. His care for everyone knowing and depending on Him became our care. His desire for everyone to experience His grace became our desire. So it's likely that some of you identify really deeply with what I'm saying here. Because for me, before Jesus, the person that mattered the most to me was me. Since the Holy Spirit moved in and has been changing my heart and the way that I think, before where I cared only about myself, now I'm actually beginning to care very deeply about other people experiencing God's grace through the gospel, just like I have. So the more I experience that grace and understand it, the more understand how much I don't deserve it, the more I want other people to experience that too, people inside and outside of God's family. So Romans 12:2 says it like this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, that's what real life transformation is. It's having our entire worldview changed. It's being changed at our very core. It's what God talks about in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, when He says this. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So Jesus sums this up for the entire law for the Pharisees when He says it like this. He says the greatest commandment was actually to love God and to love others, both of which are impossible to do without Him. So the moment we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is transforming us and empowering us to do just that, to love God and to love others like He's loved us. So the Holy Spirit wants to radically transform our lives. He wants to change the way that we think, change the way that we live, and the way that we care for others. He wants us to depend completely on Him. So part of that transformation is the Holy Spirit giving spiritual gifts to believers. Now, with God's mission in mind, it might be helpful to talk about what spiritual gifts are and maybe even what they aren't. So what spiritual gifts are? Spiritual gifts are special abilities given to believers by God to love and serve Him and others. Spiritual gifts are different from natural talents and skills that we've developed. You know, spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities that only God can give. While natural skills and talents might be, they might be the vehicle that these gifts use, they're not the same thing. So here's what I mean. You may have the talent and ability to create, engineer, and build things. And you may also have the spiritual gift of serving others. The Holy Spirit might lead you to build a house for someone so they have a place to live. Your gift for serving others was used through a talent or an ability that you already have. So spiritual gifts are from God, and they are for God. They're for His purposes, and they're empowered. They're powered by the Holy Spirit. So God uses these gifts through us, but He's the one who gets all the credit, because He's the one who does the work. So the Holy Spirit decides who gets what gifts and when they need them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 says this. It says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So these gifts are really diverse, but they're all equally valuable. You know, both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 say the same thing. We are all parts of the same body. We belong to each other as well as the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. So all parts are necessary to function. So right there in 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 21, it says this. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' that does not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head can't say to the feet that 'I don't need you.'" So just as much as God created the human body to work in concert, how much more the body of Christ is designed to work in perfect unity. So we need each other and the gifts the Holy Spirit gives us to function as the body of Christ. So every spiritual gift was present and functioning in perfect unity in Christ. And it was in unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. They were always in alignment with each other, working towards the same mission. So gifts, these spiritual gifts, they're actually active and they're action-oriented. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts to do something with. They're not meant... They're meant to be used towards His mission. They're not something that we put on a shelf or something that we just know more information about. They're actually meant to be put into action. When spiritual gifts are being used towards God's mission, they always result in fruit. So here's what I mean. The outcomes of these gifts are really recognizable. It says it really clearly here in Galatians 5. There's a good description. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." So what you see here is you see the Holy Spirit leading us to do things that are actually contrary to our old nature, our old way of life. So using God's mission and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us looks like a very different life. One that helps each other know and depend on Jesus. One that communicates His grace and His love for us. One that encourages each other to trust Him and to align ourselves with Him. So what you have to see, what you can't miss here, is that spiritual gifts are tied inseparably to life transformation through the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts and their outcomes are simply a part of reorienting our lives according to the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, these are different from, they're very different from talents and abilities that we bring to the table. Spiritual gifts are all from the Holy Spirit. They're not things that we can actually manufacture on our own. They are from Him, and He gives us the power to use them while He's transforming our lives. Now, some of the gifts that are listed in Scripture, I'm going to read through some of these here, but you can find these in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter that we read already says it like this. It says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So here's just some of them. Speaking, helping others, the ability to give wise advice, special knowledge, great faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in unknown languages, serving others, encouragement, giving, leadership, showing kindness, hospitality. These are just some of the gifts that are talked about in Scripture. But God seems to be very intentional in leaving these lists open-ended. They're clearly not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts that God gives, but and God's very, very general when He gives when He says He gives gifts from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So if 1 Corinthians 12:7 is true and gifts are really given to every believer, then you might be asking questions like I would ask. Okay, do I have a gift? What is it? How do I know what it is? How do I know how to use it? What does God want me to do with it? These are all really important questions. And just like understanding God's character and His mission is critical to understanding what spiritual gifts are, it's critical in understanding how to use them. So remember when I read 1 Corinthians 12:11, it said that it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. Now, this points clearly to the fact that the Holy Spirit has the freedom to use gifts that He has given to believers when and where and how He chooses. He chooses what gift you need and when you need it. He gives these gifts in the lives of believers for His mission. So if you let God use you for His purposes, the gifts that He gives you might actually become apparent. You know, letting God use you for His purposes is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is talking about. It says, give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So this seems to point to the fact that knowing what your spiritual gift is less important than making yourself available to God and yielding to the Holy Spirit. So I want to share with you just a couple stories from our own church family that might help illustrate just that. So there's a family who's part of our church that they're almost always the last ones to leave on Sunday morning. And here's the reason. So there's a young lady in that family. As her family was getting ready to leave one Sunday, she walked out and she saw a heaping full garbage can with coffee cups and all that stuff in it. And she thought, you know what? I could take that out on my way out. And so what she saw was she saw that this is a way that she could serve God and serve her church family. And since then, it's actually turned into this regular Sunday activity for her and her whole family, taking out the trash and cleaning up things before they leave so the building looks clean the next time ministry is happening here. Now, this might seem like a really small thing, but this is what happens when God is transforming your life and you make yourself available to Him. There's another family here who has been extending an open invitation to anyone who wants to come to supper once a month and have good food and hopefully talk about Jesus. Because they are making themselves available for God to use, they have been exercising a gift of incredible hospitality and feeding as many as like 30 people in their home and showing them the love of Christ. There's a guy who's signed up to help with kids ministry because they wanted to help and because they recognize God transforming their life. by their willingness to serve God and others, they discovered a gift of teaching that they didn't know they had. So much so that if the lesson they're teaching doesn't communicate the gospel clearly enough for them, they will make changes on the fly so that elementary school kids can know and experience God's grace the same way that he has. The Holy Spirit has clearly gifted them with teaching and communicating with young people. So these are just like a few stories of people who didn't set out to find out or discover a gift, but just wanted to be available to the Holy Spirit and be changed by him. When he prompted them to act, they found out that God had gifted them uniquely for the opportunity that was in front of them. You see, what matters more than knowing what a gift might be is knowing what it's for. 1 Corinthians 12 describes these gifts as being for the body. God's family is the body he's talking about here, and the body is made up of different people with different gifts, but the same Spirit and the same mission. So verse 13 says that we all share the same Spirit. The body is meant to work together to accomplish God's mission. So when the gifts are being used correctly, it always leads to unity. If the body's working together for a common goal, that's what we see. So that would that we would know and we would depend fully on God, and that we would share the good news of the gospel both inside and outside of God's family. So this analogy of a body is actually really, it's a particularly good illustration. A body can't go in two directions at once. It has to work together to accomplish anything. And this is why Romans 12 says, let God transform you and change the way that you think. The Holy Spirit is constantly changing the way that we think individually, and in turn, he's changing the way that we think as the whole body. So if the hands and the feet were going opposite directions, it'd be chaos. If the stomach were allowed to set the course for the whole body, it would end up, it might end up like me, randomly looking into the refrigerator and then wondering how I got there, right? So in the same way that God, using God's gifts correctly leads to unity, using them incorrectly can actually lead to division. For example, if somebody has the gift of leadership, but doesn't have an understanding or a commitment to God's mission and his character, they might actually lead the body toward a different mission, one that it wasn't created for. Or if someone has the gift of speaking truth and discernment, but they don't have love for others, the things that they say, while they might even be true, might bring real hurt and division to the body. So gifts are meant to be used in love, to serve one another, and to lead each other in dependence on God. So that's why God led Paul to write in the very next chapter of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 13, it says this, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of the angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about that, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." Spiritual gifts are not self-serving. They are grounded in humility, and they are meant for serving God and each other. So all of these gifts are meaningless and useless without an understanding of God's love. God's love for us is the reason he gives gifts, and his love is the purpose the gifts were intended for. So the more you understand and experience God's love for you, the more naturally and effectively you can use his gifts. Spiritual gifts do not depend on talents and skills and natural abilities. Since they're not sourced and powered by you, they don't require what you already have. What this means is that a gift that the Holy Spirit gives you might not have anything to do with the things that you're good at. Paul describes it like this in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me." When the Holy Spirit empowers you to use a gift that he's given you that's outside of your ability to do, only God can get glory for that. Using gifts is depending on God, and His power is made perfect in weakness. So using the gifts that the Holy Spirit's given us, being transformed by Him, those are two sides of the same coin. You know, as He transforms us, as we yield to the Spirit, God changes the way we think and invites us into alignment with Him. Yielding to Him and knowing Him always leads to changing the way that we live, that we act towards others. You know, our lives don't look the same as they did before. We find ourselves quickly doing things and saying things differently than we did before. We find ourselves doing things that align with God's mission led by the Holy Spirit rather than our own mission led by our flesh. So this is what it looks like to say yes to God's leadership and no to self-leadership. As followers of Jesus, we yield to the Holy Spirit because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 describes it this way. It says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." My body, my life, the gifts He has given me, they're all His. If I no longer belong to myself, if I really am His, then using the gifts He gives me is simply putting myself at the full disposal of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I lost my place. It means that knowing God and His mission and being ready to act when there's opportunities to be used by Him. So now you might be hearing all this. You might be hearing all this and still struggling with this idea of the Holy Spirit giving gifts to use for His mission and His purposes. You might be thinking, what if using a gift is that God is going to ask me to do something that I really don't want to do? Or maybe yielding to the idea of the Holy Spirit sounds scary. It sounds a lot like losing control. To both of those thoughts, here's what I might suggest. Start reading Scripture. Know who God is. Read Scripture to know God and what He's done on your behalf and learn how much He loves you. Read Romans chapter 8. Understand that when you put your hope in Him, He will not let you fall. Nothing can take you away from Him. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, Fritz's analogy of the high ropes course, right? How he behaved differently once he knew he had a harness on, right? That was particularly helpful for me. Because of the Holy Spirit, you can actually trust Him. You can let Him transform you and use the gifts He's given you with what might feel like reckless abandon. You know, you have been saved and nothing can separate you from Him. So if this is an area where you want to grow, if you want to know Him better so you can trust Him more, here's a next step I might suggest for you. If you take your blue card and look on the back, there's actually a next step there that you can sign up for a reading plan. It says, please send me the Holy Spirit meditation plan. If you check that box, somebody's going to email you that this week, and that's a way that you can actually start trusting Him. On the other hand, you might actually be more like me, and you might be thinking that God could never use me. You know, I know the things that I've done and how wicked my heart is, and because of my sin, I somehow feel disqualified. So God can't use me, or He doesn't give me a gift because of my sin. So whether this feels familiar to you or not, here's what you need to hear. God's grace is sufficient for you. You know, understanding that grace is the single most important part of being transformed and using your gifts and depending on Him. Spiritual gifts are all about God's grace. Look at Romans 12:6. It says, "In His grace, God has given us different gifts." So to understand that gifts are given by grace, you have to understand the first gift that every believer receives, and that's the gospel. It's knowing that you are full of sin and that you need to be made clean. You need someone to save you, and you cannot do it yourself. It's knowing the incredible unfairness of the gospel that Jesus, who is God, who created you, who had never sinned, gave His own life to pay for the penalty of your sins. That's God's mercy. He kept us from receiving what we deserved. But God's amazing grace goes so much further than that. Not only did he purchase our forgiveness, but he gave us his perfect righteousness so that when God looks at me now, he can no longer see my sin. Because we are in Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus, God doesn't see your sin anymore. Instead, what he sees is he sees you as though you had lived Christ's perfect life and that you had died his death. He sees us as completely perfect and right before him. So grace, what it really means is that he gave us what we didn't deserve, that we could never earn. So gifts that are given by grace don't have anything to do with how good you are. Instead, they have everything to do with how good Jesus is on your behalf. So to be 100% honest with you, standing up here talking to you about spiritual gifts is, to say the least, overwhelming. I know my own heart. I don't even know it as well as God knows it, and I am profoundly aware of how much I do not deserve forgiveness, let alone righteousness. From my perspective, I do not deserve a gift, and I'm not qualified to talk to you about them. But because of Jesus, I'm saved by grace. I'm being transformed by grace, and by grace, he has given me a gift to use for his mission. That gift has nothing to do with what I'm good at, but it has everything to do with what God is good at. I'm not good at writing. I'm not good at teaching. I'm not good at talking in front of people. Those are not things I'm naturally good at. But God's strength really is made perfect in weakness. So I'm standing here not because of my qualifications or because of my disqualifications. I'm here because God has saved me by his grace and given me a gift to use at this particular moment by depending on him. I'm overwhelmed by the reality of God's grace. Because of that, I want other people to experience his grace too. So what this boils down to is doing things for God because I love him. Because of God's grace, I don't have to do things so that God will forgive me or so that I can gain his favor. The gospel ultimately takes away all the wrong reasons to do things for God. And what it leaves is the only real reason, and that's worship. You've got to see it. That's what using God's gifts is. It's worship. That's what obedience really is. It's worship. It's worshiping the one who saved us and made us part of his family. So here's a really practical way I got to see this in action. If you've been a part of Lighthouse for any time at all, you have probably met my friend Alvin. If you haven't, you should make a point to know him. It'd be hard to get by him without meeting him. Alvin's a guy whose life has been radically transformed by the Holy Spirit. His life looks completely different than it did before Jesus. So much so that Alvin cannot help but tell people the good news about the gospel. He has a deep care for other people knowing and experiencing God's grace, and he loves people. Sometimes God gives us opportunities to use gifts that don't look like we would expect. So recently, Alvin was in the hospital for surgery, and it was a pretty routine surgery, but it did not go as everyone had hoped. It turned into about 15 hours of him lying flat on his back in excruciating pain and losing a lot of blood. I know for me, it would have been hard to recognize that as an opportunity to serve others. But he shared with me how the Holy Spirit gave him the chance to share the gospel with everyone who was there to take care of him. The Holy Spirit had given Alvin a gift and empowered him to use that gift in ways that Alvin never could have done on his own. You see, when you really experience the gospel yourself, you can't keep it in. As God transforms your life, you can't help but use the gifts that he's given you, even if you don't know you have them. When you are saved by God's grace alone, you cannot help but worship him with your life. So that's what God's inviting us to do, is to depend fully on him. So if you want to use the gifts that God has given you, here's three really practical steps that I might suggest to you right now. The first one is know God through Scripture. Meditate on his character and his mission. Let the good news of the gospel overwhelm you, because as you grow in your understanding of who he is, he will change the way that you think and he'll transform your life. As you understand more and more what he's done for you, you'll want to love others in the ways that he's loved you. You'll want them to hear and experience the good news of the gospel. And signing up for this reading plan is just one way that you can start doing this. The key is really that you're reading the Bible to know who God is and what his mission really is. But if you're here today and maybe you're not a part of God's family, if you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, if he's not the one leading your life, if you don't know him, I want to tell you, you can find him. Pray and ask God to show you who he is and start looking for him in Scripture. If you seek him, you will find him. He wants to save you and have perfect relationship with you. You know, perhaps God has been speaking to you through Scripture, through teaching, through worship, through other people in your life, and you know that you need him. You don't have to wait to say yes to him. Putting your faith in Jesus is as simple as making a decision and asking him to save you. It's choosing to receive the gift of grace that he offers and choosing to follow him as your leader instead of yourself. You could do that right now. If you make that decision today, I hope that you'll mark that box on your connection card that says, I'm saying yes to Jesus as my forgiver and leader for the first time, because I want to celebrate that with you, and your whole new family wants to celebrate that with you. It was God's mission to save you and make you a part of his family for eternity. You were created for that relationship. The second thing I might suggest is, if you want to grow in using the gifts God's given you, spend time around other growing believers. Look for ways to serve them and look for ways to share the good news with everyone around you, both people inside and outside of God's family. When you yield to the Holy Spirit and let him transform you, he uses you for his mission. Look for opportunities to serve others for God and make the decision to act on it. And the third thing I might suggest is that you pray. Pray for boldness. Pray for the right words. That's what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul asks the Ephesian believers, he says, pray for me and ask that God would give me the right words so that I could boldly share the good news with the world. That is a prayer that God's waiting to answer. So we care really, really deeply about prayer here at Lighthouse. And I actually want to take some time and pray for you. But I want you to know, we have prayer partners who are going to be at every corner of the room. There'll be one over here, one over here, one back by the sound booth, one by the door. And they are here ready to pray with you about anything. God wants to hear our prayers and wants to answer them. So what's going to happen right now is the band's actually going to come up and they're going to play one more song. While we're singing, if you want to receive prayer, all you have to do is go find one of these prayer partners and they're ready to pray with you. Everyone needs prayer. I need prayer. Jeff needs prayer. We all need it, right? And you don't have to be feel weird or embarrassed or ashamed to do that. This is an opportunity for you to pray with somebody else. So during this last song, go find one of them. You can pray with them. But before we do, I want to pray for you. Let's close our heads. Close our eyes and bow our heads and ask the same question that we ask here every week. God, what are you saying to me right now? Father, I thank you that you have made your mission clear to us. I thank you that it was your mission to save us. God, I thank you that you invite us into your family, that you forgive our sins, that you actually extend grace and mercy to us. I thank you that you've made me a part of your family. I thank you that you are leading us as your body in your mission, that we could serve you and we could share the good news about you with others. So, Father, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for your family. I pray that you would help us to be unified around your mission, and that we would take a step of faith and trust you and make ourselves available to you. God, I thank you for everything that you provide. I thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you most of all for the gift that you've given us. Father, I pray that you would draw every person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.